Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Holla, 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 holla. Another week, another day in Saturday Nation. Of course, every day that ends in Y is your day. What is up, champion? It's Sam Crowley. I am honored to be back at it, back in the saddle, as we say, of Every Day is Saturday. Let's get after it in a big, big way. Facing your fears. Facing your fears. I just keep going back to this. Thank you, just the inspiration that I've gotten from all these calls I've been doing with people. What keeps coming up a lot is fear, a lot of fear. Look, I get it. The old acronym fear is false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. That's somewhat true, but there is real, real fear out there. Being an entrepreneur, launching your business, going after your dream, putting content out there. And a lot of it goes around the topic of being judged and what are people going to think and how am I going to sound and how am I going to look and all of that. That's real. I mean, that's not something to be like a lot of people just, oh, move on. That's, I don't know, man. That's not really anything to be dismissed. I think learning how to deal with that is a better solution than saying fear and just throwing acronyms out there is false evidence appearing real. Now, I will say there's two sides. I talk about this all the time. I mean, as recently as probably just the last podcast, that you can focus on faith or you can focus on fear. They both involve you believing in something that hasn't happened yet. Okay, so I get that. But how do you have faith and how do you have fear? How do you deal with both? So let's just talk about fear for right now, since that's the topic of the show. Facing your fears. I think in my own, and again, it's only my own experience. I haven't read up on it. I haven't, you know, this isn't theory. It's not like I'm using somebody else's quote on the internet. This is my own experience in facing fear. Being an ex-stutterer, my biggest fear was getting up in front of a group of people and talking. Like, I'm not talking about fearful, like, oh my God, like my kids, whenever they got to give up and get a speech in class, they, you know, they got a little bit of anxiety like everybody does. And I'm talking about literally sweating profusely in class before I had to get up and give any kind of a presentation, to the point where my entire t-shirt would be stuck to my body. I worked myself up into such a lather when I used to be in grade school and high school that I used to, my t-shirt would be stuck to my body just because of all the sweat and all the anxiety and all of the fear about having to say even just one sentence and thinking, oh man. And then I would, if I had to give a speech and it was written in class, you know how you have speech class or any class, I mean, even giving a presentation in science or something like that, when you'd have index cards or you would write it all out, I would look to see and make sure that every sentence began with an easy word. So let me say a hard word for me would be anything that had like a silent letter, like the word hour, but H-O-U-R. Hour. The silent letters is what got me. Anything that started with a vowel, A-E-I-O-U, like apple or envelope or incident or umbrella or ostrich or anything like that. Anything started with a vowel, I couldn't do. So think about how crazy this was, okay? Every sentence I reviewed to make sure it started with a consonant. The first word, the first letter of the first word would start with a consonant. That's crazy. I think back and all of those times. And it didn't stop just in high school when I would give up and give a speech as a sales rep. You'd have to give a presentation in front of the group. You would present on whatever it was, how to be a better salesperson or how to sell the product, whatever it is. I would make sure that the first letter of the first word of every sentence had a consonant. That's the craziest thing. And I remember calling my friend's house and I would have to ask, is Mike there? Is Joe there? Is Bill there? And the word is, I couldn't say, because I would hop up and down literally on one leg, you know, stuttering. And so I just said, "Hey, how are you?" And the parent, if it wasn't the kid on the phone, would say, "Hey, who's this?" It's Sam. And I would always have that prepared. And then, "Hey, Sam, hold on. Let me get Mike." That's basically how it all went down. And so how did I get over that? Well, I made a decision in my mind. And this is where it all stems from. Every single podcast I've done, I think thousands and thousands of episodes have all revolved around mindset, about life being an inside job and success being an inside job. And I think conquering your fears is even more so being an inside job. And I got out of my own head. And I love the Tony Robbins quote, "In your head and you're dead. You get out of your head or you're dead," you know? And when you're inside your head, man, so many things can pop up, and fears and all of these things that will never happen in your life, and all these things you're afraid of that are never going to happen, consume your mind. And so I made a decision to invest really in personal development. I started listening to a lot of motivational tapes and things like that in my 20s. And I do say tapes, okay, cassette tapes, those of you that are old enough to remember those. And I'd pop them in my car. And then I finally said, you know, I was on the road in sales, and it was around 1992 or so. And I was way up in the northern part of New York State, Watertown. You guys know where that is, up on Lake Ontario. Malone, Plattsburgh. I went all the way up Plattsburgh, New York, in January, February, and March of 1993. There is no place colder than that. If you guys know what I'm talking about, Plattsburgh borders Vermont right there, Burlington, Vermont. And I was living outside of Watertown, a place called Sackett's Harbor, which was right on Lake Ontario. Okay, right on. Yeah, so I was living in Lake Ontario, on Lake Ontario, in an apartment, and it was the dead of winter. And when I say cold, I didn't even know cold. I grew up in Bradford, PA, coldest spot of the nation all the time. The lake effect is no joke. That breeze howling out there, and I was by myself really the whole time. And I remember driving. Every morning I'd wake up. On Monday mornings, I would drop my dog off at a lady's house. I had a little Boston Terrier named Petey. He had one brown eye, one white eye. And I would drop Petey off at this lady's house who had like seven other dogs. It was crazy. In Watertown. And I would make the three-hour drive to Plattsburgh all across up over New York State. So I would go through like Saranac Lake, Lake Placid, where they had the 1980 Olympics, all that. I'd drive through there to get to Plattsburgh. I would stay at the Holiday Inn in Plattsburgh, New York. And then on Friday afternoons, I would drive all the way back to Watertown. And I did this from October of 92 until May of 93. Okay, 6 months in the dead of winter, pretty much. And I remember I was doing that long trip, and it was so cold outside, and it was like 20 below zero. And I'm making the trip, and I had to give a presentation in the hotel in Plattsburgh to the sales reps. And I remember thinking, I got to get over myself, man. This is so stupid. Like, why do I have a stuttering problem and nobody else has a stuttering problem? It's because I'm nervous. I have anxiety. I'm focused on something going wrong. And I made the decision, and because everybody asked me, how did you stop stuttering? How did you stop stuttering? Well, I didn't stop. I still get caught up sometimes not speaking well. But I cured most of it by just saying, I'm done. And speech pathologists, look, I put that video on YouTube 4 years ago, whatever. It's got 40,000 views. I've heard from so many speech pathologists, it's harder than that. Well, maybe it is, but for me, it wasn't. I said enough. And that, to me, I remember driving through the North Country in New York State in the dead of winter. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, had my cup of coffee, and I'm driving just on this open country road, and nobody else was around. I just said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with that fear. That fear lives no longer in my mind. I'm done. And I remember the power I felt. And now I think it was the Holy Spirit. I really do believe that. I really believe that was it. It was God saying, Sam, you're bigger than this. You're better than this. You got so much more going on, dude. What are you doing sabotaging the only life I gave you around this false thing about not being able to speak? You're a great speaker. Earn it. You know, just do more of it. Embrace it. Nobody knows that you're a stutter unless you get up there and hop up and down on one leg. Nobody knows you don't have any confidence unless you tell them. So I said, I'm done. And I remember the power I felt. I said, I'm done. And that's it. And I gave that presentation that day. It went off beautifully. I stuttered and stammered a couple times, but nothing. And I had no anxiety. None. I had, on a scale of 1 to 10, it used to be off the hook, like a 12 of anxiety. Now it was probably like a 3. It was still there a little bit because I still get nervous when I speak in front of groups, but not nervous like I'm going to fail. Just, hey, let's get going. And so then I took that same, I'm done being broke. Cool. Wasn't broke anymore. I'm done having a broke mentality. Awesome. There goes the scarcity. And now you guys know I am not about this push button, just push a button and your life changes. But when you go to work on yourself, okay, and you, the first thing you got to do is say, I'm done. So I faced my fear of not being able to speak. Then I faced my fear of worrying about being broke. And then I bought my first house. It was I closed on it. I remember I met with a mortgage broker. I said, I'm done running. I mean, I did this now. It was just ridiculous. I was doing it with everything. I'm done running. So in the fall of 93, I met with a mortgage broker. I had no business meeting with a mortgage broker. I was a 24-year-old just bopping around, you know, going a happy hour all the time in sales. Think about it. But I said, I'm done running. So I met with a mortgage broker. I said, why can't I buy a house? Well, what do you know? I got a mortgage. I bought a house in 1994. It was $87,000. My mom thought, what are you doing buying a home for $87,000 might as well have been $8.7 million to my mom and to me. But when I broke through that plateau, it was a nice three-bedroom home, you know, had a basement. I got a pool table in there, had a lot of guys over. And we, you know, had a good time. It was just, I was done renting. And I was a homeowner. And then I got relocated to High Point, North Carolina on the company. They bought my house out, made a couple bucks there, bought another house with my then fiance Angela in High Point. Then we moved back to Buffalo, bought another house, Cincinnati, bought another house. All of that, the whole domino, the whole reason I'm even recording this podcast for you today is when you say I'm done, it doesn't mean that it's going to stop and everything's good. It's going to be perfect fairy tale land for you that minute. But it starts the process. And that's what's the most important thing. It starts the process of you creating momentum and building whatever you're done with, man. You got to claim it and say, I am done. And I don't mean it's one of these things where you just kind of whisper, it's like, I'm done. That's what I did in the car. When I was driving across the North Country on those barren roads in the middle of the dead winter, nobody else around, I said, I'm done. It was just like that. It wasn't this, you know, I think I'll be done having this fear of speaking. No, it wasn't like that. And so, you know, that's how you do it. Yeah, I mean, that's how you do it. If you don't want to be broke anymore, it's not like you're going to say, I'm done, and then you're going to win the lotto. It's, I'm done. And then you start moving towards one step towards where you're going. And I'm telling you, man, there is no – Peter Drucker, one of the most famous economists of all time, said there's two things that you absolutely need in any business. There's no ifs and buts about it. It's innovation and momentum. Innovation and momentum. If you have innovation and you have momentum, then you're golden. You got the two components of a successful business, a brand, a movement, whatever it is you want to do. By the way, have you gone to my calendar and set up your free 30-minute call? Go to everydayissaturday.com/calendar. Just set it up. Let's talk. Let's figure out what your next step is and get your movement launched. Say I'm done. Just say it today. Shout it. I don't give a – I almost swore. I don't give a crap who's around. Just scream I'm done. They're like, what are you doing? I'm done. You just move on. And then if you want to share with them why you're done, that's great too. But if it's me, I yell this stuff out. Hey, what's that? Nothing, man. Just yelling, I'm done. No big deal. Anyway, how's things with you? Need a coffee? I mean, that's where my life is right now. I don't even care anymore what people think. I know one thing. I want to make sure that there's a legacy left behind that my kids understand that I wasn't perfect. I wasn't the greatest dad. I wasn't a perfect dad. My kids don't want perfect. They want protection. They want to be loved. They want to know they're loved. And they want to know that they can put their mind to anything, make a decision, and they can do it. That's what I want to teach my kids. I never had that lesson growing up. That's my goal here. That's the only reason I live, and to teach you as well that you can, in fact, set your mind towards whatever it is you want to do and move towards that goal, and you will have a purpose-driven life. Are you ready? Say, I'm done! Just say it. I'm done! Oh, and have the best day ever!
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag #EveryDayIsSaturday.